Sing it for the can't go back. Sing it for the broken past. Sing it for the just found out. Life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your hand.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Life Walk with Christ God. I am Michael Bejas. You come on over to the Trim Radio Network. You can listen in. You could buy our merchandise. We'd love to see you in it. And I'll tell you what, if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us, and we'll show you how easy it is to do. Anyway, the opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. Any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, that includes any medical and health information, as well, and expressly deny any and all liability resulting from the show. We are covered under the BMI Music License, 6105-1658. That covers this song right here, Together, from King and Country. And we do have a call in, but it's so much easier if you just go to one of the pages that we're on, and you can join us there. And there is a link on there, so if you want to get on the show and you want to join, please, we would be honored to have you. We really would. Okay, so let's get out of there. We are in the King James Version of the Bible, page 1069. We are on chapter 8 of Matthew. And that's where we're at right now. And I'll tell you what, a little bit about Matthew. You know, we don't really have a chance that we have talked about Matthew. We're gonna talk a little bit about Matthew before we begin chapter 8. Thank you. Have Kalen get his dog. I'm going to do him in. Matthew, you know, who is Matthew in the Bible? And we know he was a tax collector, born, you know, Capernaum. And I'll tell you what, we look at that and we see all the different things. But according to Matthew and Mark, Matthew was sitting by the customs house in Capernaum near modern Almagor, Israel, and the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus called him into his company, assuming that the identification of Matthew, also known as Levi, is correct. Probably meaning Yahweh's gift, would appear to be the Christian name of Levi, called by Mark Levi, the son of Alphaeus, who had been employed as a tax collector in the service of Herod Antipas, the Tetrarchy of Galilee. Because Levi's occupation was one that earned distrust and contempt everywhere, the scribes of the Pharisees criticized Jesus on seeing him eat with tax collectors and sinners, whereupon Jesus had answered and said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Mark 2:15-17. According to Luke, the aforementioned dinner was given by Levi in the house after his calling. So, other than naming Matthew in the list of apostles, usually pairing him with St. Thomas, the New Testament offers scant and uncertain information about him. Outside the New Testament, a statement of importance about him is the passage from the Apostolic Father Papias of Hierapolis, preserved by Bishop Eusebius of Caesarea, So then Matthew composed the oracles in the Hebrew language, and each one interpreted them as he could. You know, the gospel according to Matthew was certainly written for the Jewish Christian church in a strong Jewish environment. But that this Matthew is definitely the synoptic author is seriously doubted. Traditional notes of his ministry in Judea, which he supposedly mentioned or missioned to the east, suggesting Ethiopia, Persian, Lesion, differs as to the scene of the missions, as to whether he died of a natural death or he died a martyr. But his relics were reputedly discovered in Solferino, Italy, in 1080. His symbol is the angel. He is the patron saint of the tax collectors and accountants. All the information that I really have and what we really have from Matthew, you know. And I think Matthew wants to, he gives an accounting that where the Jews have rejected Christ, because they have rejected them, Christ has turned to the church, which is very, very interesting. But the fact is that, and I've said this before, the Jews in a lot of respects, and not all, understand, not all, but the Pharisees and them, they missed the boat. They had God before them and rejected him as being the Son of God. And the truth of the matter is that they have to wait. They have to wait. And they go back to talking about Moses and the scriptures and everything like that. But the bottom line is, you can go back to the scriptures all you want, but when you have Christ God in front of you and you still reject him, you have to understand now they will have to wait until the second coming, until the second time that God does show up and God comes. So with that, now we're looking at this, and Matthew is very differently. All of them are so different, you know. And they're all flawed, just like all of us in our lives today. You know, surely we're probably more flawed than what they were, but they were flawed. But here we are. We're on page 1069, Matthew 8. And understand, I'm not clergy. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a priest. I am not any type in any way, shape, or form. I'm just a person that loves to open the Bible and read the Bible. And if you have any questions and interpretations, because the Bible is open to so many different interpretations, I would strongly, strongly encourage you to go back, talk to your pastor, talk to your priest, talk to your rabbi, talk to your clergy, talk to your bishop, talk to your pope, talk to whoever that to clarify what you might be interpreting if you're having a confusing thing, because your interpretation and my interpretation they could be two different things. It's open to interpretation, reproof, reproach. Just keep that in mind. I'm just a guy that loves to read it, and it brings me peace. So that's what we do. Anyway, page 1069, Matthew chapter 8, the leper is cleansed. And you'll see that he goes through, and he loves to do this, and it goes through, and it talks about Mark and Luke at the same time, the different areas in the Bible where you can go, and you can see the accounts, the different versions, but how they saw it. And each one of them saw Christ in a different way, how they looked at him. And it very wonderful. The stories are pretty much all the same, but you can see the different things that go on with the stories. They focus on different things, and it's absolutely amazing. And I mean, when we were reading through John, how wonderful, you know, and we saw how everything, how it all comes to life. The Bible is one of these wonderful, this canon that just, it comes to life, and it is this most epic, just, romantic, in a lot of ways, love story. It's the greatest love story of all time. It's the greatest. And you have to delve in it and look at it at that angle in order to really appreciate it and to grasp the true divinity that God wanted to have, you know, this holy divinity that, you know, from the very beginning, from the very start in Genesis, having humanity and the divinity going together. It is just this wonderful love story that just goes all the way through and all the way through. And dive into it from that aspect, and I think that you'll get a better understanding. At least I did. I came to appreciate it even more. So is one of the one things that I really, really do love about it. Okay, here we go. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the testimony unto them. You know, the gift and these different things that are happening, you know, wave offerings, sin offerings, forgiveness, just wonderful things that you have to go back and you have to review, and going back to Genesis and seeing all that and going through it and Exodus and everything else is just incredible. And now you can see that it all is pulled together. That's the one thing I can say is that it actually pulls it all together into the New Testament, which is just fantastic. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I tell you, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak thy word only, and my servant shall be healed. Imagine this man. He knows this is, he's a centurion. Understand something. He's working Caesar. He's working for the Roman Empire. But he also knows he's not going to them. He's not going to Herod. He's not going to Caesar. He's not going to anyone else coming to heal his son. He has gone above and beyond directly to the source, to Christ God, to God himself, saying, listen, all you have to do is just say it and it'll be done. This is the faith that this man has. This is the faith that he has in his heart. Just knowing it, that if you say it's done, it's done. I have no doubt. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. I mean, that is a testament, you know? He didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel like he was worth anything. He says, I am not worthy, and thou shouldest come under my roof. Don't come under my roof. I'm not worthy of this. But you say it'll be done, it'll be done. And he did it. Oh, Peter's mother-in-law is healed. Here we go. And we're now on verse 14, chapter 8, page 1069. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his mother's laid and sick of fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. All the way back, you know, from way back when, you know, Esaias, you know, the prophet talked about Christ, and such a prophetic book, all the different things that were happening, and this is exactly what was happening. So now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. The thing was, is that when I look at that and I hear that, it's amazing to me, you know, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. The bottom line is that you can't, don't waste time on the dead right now, because they're going to hold you up. He is here now. Follow me and don't worry about the dead. You don't need to bury your father. Come on with me. And when he entered this, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are you so fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And you could go through and look at some of the different accounts now of the others, and they'll say he was sleeping and his head was on a pillow in the back of the boat, in the aft of the boat. And why that was important, I don't know. But see, the different accounts of the different things that are going on. But either way, the story is still the same. So he rebuked the waves, and he rebuked the seas and the winds, and it all stopped and came calm. Okay, devils are cast into swine. Here we go, verse 28. And when there was come to the other side, into the county of the Gergesians, there met he two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by the way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what do we have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Very interesting how they said this too. You know? What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? They acknowledge him. And they've acknowledged him in front of everybody. They've acknowledged him, Son of God. They know his power. They know exactly who Christ God is, who Jesus is. And of course, you know, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So what time are they talking about? They know what's coming. Before the time. Before the time. They know exactly what is coming of Christ. They know he's going to beat death. They know within 3 days he's going to rise again and beat death. There is no stopping him. That's the time that they're talking about. And there was a good way off from them, and a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And then when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Why would they want him to leave? But they did. Why? Why did they want him to live? He scares them in a lot of ways. Okay? Understand, these devils that were going on, exceedingly fierce, coming out of the tombs, with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Not only does he go past, they know who he is. They know exactly who Christ is. And they say, hey, why are you here before the time? Well, you've come to torment us? And he says, go into the swine. That's where you want to go. Go into the swine. And they run down there, down the steep hill, and jump into the sea and die. And the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. You're getting the point that a lot of way through the Bible and a lot of this thing is that some of these people that really do believe in Christ and believe in God and have this wonderful faith and they aren't hooked on this world, these worldly things, love to have them around. And then everybody else wants to see them go. It's very interesting. It's very interesting how this works and the influence that not only the disciples have, but what gift God has given us in this world that we just, I still don't know if people really understand it and how we can accept it all. Okay, chapter 9, here we go, page 1070. And he entered into a ship and passed over. And came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, laying in bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said with themselves, This man blasphemeth. He's blaspheming. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins? Then he said, he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy own house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And Jesus passed forth from hence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and he followed him. Here's Matt. Here's Matthew. Here we go. You're a tax collector, and I want you to follow me. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, that they be whole, not need of a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It didn't matter who he was eating with. And the Pharisees could sit there and they could say, yeah, you're eating with sinners. And people like, yeah, I'm here to help them. I'm here to cure them. I'm here to make them better. Help them be forgiven and move on and teach them the right way to go into the light. I am the light. He is the light. And they're worried about who they're eating with. Then came him to the disciples of John, saying, why do we, the Pharisees, fast often, but the disciples fast not? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall fast. No man putteth a new piece of cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill up and taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the new wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they will put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. You know, that's the thing, you know. I mean, he used all these wonderful parables to make points and to try to teach them. And he did this and explained this to them in different ways, you know. But they didn't always get it, and they didn't always understand. While he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, in the other accounts, in the other books, she touches him, and he said, felt some of the essence go out of me. Who touched me? And one of the disciples even looked to him and said, we're in the middle of a giant crowd and you ask who touches you? You're getting touched by everyone. And of course, this was a chance for her to repent, to her to come forward, which she did in some of the other versions here. I touched you. And he said, listen, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and he saw the minstrels and the other people making a noise, he said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed at him and scorned him. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. Now, in the other one, it was Talitha Kume. Arise, little girl, is what he said. And she did, after they laughed at him and brought her forth. And we've seen him do this before over and over again. Of course, he's done this multiple times now to people that have passed away or died and brought them back to life, because there is nothing impossible for Christ God. There's nothing impossible at all for God. For man, everything is impossible, but for God, nothing is impossible. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe thee that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. He touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Very interesting. Jesus always told everyone, don't make mention of this. Don't say anything. But he knows, just as surely as he knows everything in this world, as God knows every single thing that happens before we even do it, he knows that they're going to do this. He knows they're going to tell everybody. He knows that they're going to pass on this information, so why even say it, right? Because far be it for Christ to take the fame. It wasn't for him. Anything that he does was given him, and he'll tell you, by the Father. So glory to the Father. Praise be to the Father. As they went out, behold, they brought him to a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It is never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casts out devil through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness of every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were so scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. And he said unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray thee therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He had so many people that loved him and wanted to come to God and wanted to come to him, but not enough people to get them to lead there. That's why he's gathering all these apostles. He's telling them, okay, listen, it's time for it. We're the reapers, you're the reapers, you're the fishers of men, you're this. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatever so city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide, still ye go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if that house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. And if it not be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of your house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I set you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when you deliver, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of the Israel till the Son of Man come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? For them, not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what we hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But in the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in the cities. And now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, When went ye out into the wilderness to see a reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, which hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that is least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias which was to come. For he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, and a friend of physicians and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then he began to be upbraid the cities wherein the most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. It's very funny. You know, John never drank. He was never to touch fermented drink or anything else, nor did he. And, you know, his parents knew that. And very interesting that John's only purpose was to come and lay straight the way for Christ. That was it. He was born with the Holy Spirit. So understand, the advocate was with John from the very beginning. Woe unto thee, Chazarin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavenly and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, I am not meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, always the open invitation. And Christ is saying again here, if you look at it, you know, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither man knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Everything in God is in me. Everything in me is in God. You say you know God, then you know me. You say you know me, then you know God. There's no other way around it. Otherwise, you do not. And it's just that simple. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and he began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. And if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. I'm telling you now, we're in there. I'm greater than the temple. I am God. I am the Son of God, God, okay? And you're going to talk to me about the Sabbath and what is lawful and what is not? Here I am right in front of you. I'll let you know what is lawful and what is not. And he has to sit there and go over all this stuff with them over and over and over again. And it just amazes me. And that's one of the things in this beautiful love story, this Bible. And people are going to always ask me, what do you mean it's a love story? It is a love story. It's the love that God has for man through every single thing that we have done that we are definitely not deserving of his love. But that's what makes it the greatest love story of all time. Because no matter how many times that we have betrayed God and created distrust and broken our holiness, our divinity, divinity of God to humanity of man, and broken that, He is still there and still loves us and still wants us. Well, I don't know always, but he does. And that's the greatest thing. So here we are, and we're gonna finish up here. And we're gonna stop. I think where we're gonna stop is we're gonna stop right here. And I've enjoyed this so much this hour. I can't thank you enough. Let me get my pen out so I can make sure I mark this the correct way. And we're going to stop right here. The controversy over the Sabbath healing, and it's very interesting. So it's going to be chapter 12, verse 9, and we're going to pick this up next week on the 31st. So we're going to put 3:24:24. But I want you to, if you get a chance, I don't know where you're at in life. I have no idea what it's going to take. To get you to kind of have a different change of heart, a different mindset. And it's easy to get lost in this world. It's very easy to get lost. And you have to stick your mind into a different area and a different time and realize that, you know what? This is not our world. This is just, basically, is just a little foreign land that we're here. We're visiting for a short time, a fleeting amount of time, you know, and it's very funny. It's, you go back to Solomon and you go back, or you go back through different areas, Proverbs and different areas, and everything under the sun is vanity. It's amazing when you start thinking of the words that were written and you look at all the different things that goes on throughout the Bible. Dive into it as this romantic love story. You will not be able to put it down. And you'll not be able to walk away from it, I promise you. And it's one of the things that I absolutely enjoyed, was it just, for whatever reason in this time in my life, it just kind of grabbed a hold of me and drew me in. And that's the greatest thing that I can tell you that you get to experience. And we'll read it together, and we'll go through it together, and we're going to jump different areas all the time. You know, I'm usually at three or four different areas in the Bible all the time. You know, Samuel going through and looking at, you know, Prophet Samuel and going through the time of Saul and David, and which is just another incredible, incredible area of the Bible. And where we'll go from here, you know, I don't always know. I have so many wonderful books that I just love to read from all the different times, which is very, very interesting. And some things you'll chase after if they mean enough to you. Fall in love. Go fall in love again. And I can only tell you, if you get that chance, that make it with Christ God. It's worth it. Trust me, it's worth it. So with that, I want to say thank you for tuning into Life Walk with Christ God. We have some great stuff on, and I apologize. I had been sick, dealing with some flu and some other health issues and everything. So I apologize that I had not been able to join you for the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we're moving on beyond that. It's taken me a couple of weeks. Fortunately, it's just the way it is. Call it old age. But anyway, I hope that more of you tune in all the time, and you know, we get to share some time and reading. It's always good when you have some company and stuff. So anyway, listen, I love y'all. God bless. I hope that you have a wonderful week. Slow down. Take the extra step to find that extra kindness. Take the extra step to show it and display that extra kindness rather than being grumpy and foul and anything else. Life's too short for that, and it'll change your thinking and your mentality. So it'll make your days more and more enjoyable. And with that, God bless you. I wish you all the best. We'll catch you next week and back in Matthew again. And you know what? What a great, great book. And then we'll see where we go after this one. You know, it's the wonderful thing about it is we're just going to keep delving into different spots. And I don't know, we're just going to keep looking around and finding different things. So we'll do that. But I want to say thank you all. Kind of cool. So, anyway, take care, folks. We'll see you later.
It's been so long living in hell. They say my lifestyle is bad for my health. It's the only thing that seems to help. All of this drinking and smoking, hopeless, but feel like it's all that I need. Something inside of me's broken. I hold on to anything that sets me free. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams. It's all that I need. Something inside of me's broken. I hold on to anything that sets me free. I'm alone.
One, two, three.